800.
It's only minus 17 degrees. There must be something wrong with the thermometer, but only minus 17 degrees is just not in the vocabulary. Good evening and welcome to Running Flat Radio. Joining me in studio is Kelly Steele, fitness columnist from the Windsor Star.
Thank you,
Brian. And Carla Lozon, absent from Running Flat. And of course, if you have any questions about tonight's show, you can go to Running Flat Radio on Facebook and ask us a question live. This weather really is unprecedented for us. I mean, we're at the record for snowfall in the history of keeping those records.
And yes, it's making running quite the challenge lately.
It really has. But you know what? I see the people out there running every day and they're looking great doing it. And you know, good for them that they can just keep going through that.
And you've noticed we even have some cyclists out there on the road. Those diehard cyclists still.
Awesome. Just awesome. So on today's show, we're really excited. We've got an old friend of ours, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of running, as people would call him, from Runner's World Magazine, Bart Yasso. Bart is the chief running officer for Runner's World Magazine and the whole Rodale publishing group, which includes Men's Health, Women's Health, one of the biggest publishing groups in the world. So he's going to join us in about 10 minutes. And then about a quarter to the hour, we're going to bring Michael Doyle in from Canadian Running Magazine with the running news. And he's always got some great stories, and we're going to go through what's going on this week. Real briefly, Running Flat is brought to you by Oya Solar, the first name in solar large commercial industrial developments, and they'll even finance 100% of your projects and build it worry-free. And we also brought to you by Walkerville Breweries, our good friends down there. Enjoy fresh, drink local. And don't forget to ask your favorite spot when you're out eating on the weekend if they have any Walkerville and if they have it on tap. So, Kelly, we're going to start our running group in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So what the show schedule looks like over the next couple weeks is next week we're really excited because we got Dean Karnes, Mr. Ultra Marathon Man.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show next week talking about ultra marathoning and motivation. Don't forget, this is a guy who's actually won a number of ultra marathons. And he's also run the 50 marathons in 50 days. He did that a couple of years ago. So he's got a lot to talk about when it comes to motivation and the limits of human potential. So he's going to be on, and then we're going to take a 2-week break. I'm at Running USA down in San Diego. We're going to do a whole bunch of interviews live down there as well. We're going to bring those back with us, and then we're preempted by the Spitfires, and then we're going to come back. And our first show back are the Paleo diet folks. The hottest diet in the world right now is the paleo diet. They're going to come on with us because they just wrote a new book called Paleo Diet for Athletes, and especially for endurance athletes. So we're going to talk about next month, and also we're going to start up a running group right afterwards. Not necessarily a running group, but we're just going to do a group run, for instance, you know, at the end of Olette, down at the foot of Olette at Dieppe Gardens right after the show. Go down there. We can do upwards of a 5K. You can walk it. You can run it.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want. But the bottom line is we're going to get folks out now that the weather's going to start turning, because I'm sure it won't be snowing then. I'm sure it won't be minus.
It's got to be warmer, right?
I'm sure, you know, it's like we moved to Fargo, North Dakota, and someone forgot to tell us. But what we're going to do is we're basically going to start a little running activity group where, you know, people can meet us and we can sit down and we can go for a walk or a run you know, just kind of help people through really getting started and working on their first 5K or 10K, whatever they want to do.
I think that's a great idea.
Just come on down and meet us, and we'll do that. So we'll start that in March. So if I was in that position, where should I start?
Well, obviously, the very first thing you should do is look at your shoes. One of the most important pieces of equipment that a runner needs is a pair of shoes. And it doesn't mean you have to go to the running store, buy the most expensive. You go in, you have your feet fit. And pretty much the moment you put those shoes on, you're going to know if those are the shoes or not. Now, I know some people are probably wondering, well, I have old shoes at home. You know, they're still good. They still look great. If you've been cutting the grass in them, if you've been doing other stuff in them, it's time to replace them. And, you know, trust me, that $100 you spend on your pair of shoes is going to be well worth it. Now, the next thing that's really important, if you haven't been running and you're just interested in doing it and you're straight up off the couch, it's really important to first off get into a routine. If you think it's going to be best to do it early in the morning or late at night, then figure out, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are going to be your run walk days. And you start off doing it by time. So the first day you head out and maybe you run light post to light post, or you run for 5 minutes, walk for 5 minutes.
Driveway to driveway.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Probably the biggest thing I see a lot of new runners do is they put their shoes on. they lace them up and they go tearing down the driveway, down the road as fast as they can. And I usually see them about a block or two down the road. They're bent over, they're holding their side with side stitches, pacing. All that stuff's really important. That's why when you start running, you're going to just a really casual, should be able to talk a little bit, nice casual pace, and just go 2-3 minutes. If you have to stop and walk, you walk. It's the best part about these 5Ks. They're just a short distance, and the whole point is just to get out and do them. It doesn't matter whether you have to walk or run or whatever, just as long as you're out doing it.
Yeah, there is a misconception in new runners that you have to constantly run from when the gun goes off to when you hit the finish line, you have to run. And that's not the case. I mean, one of the most popular styles of running, the Galloway method, and we're going to get Jeff on the show as well, probably midsummer, talking about that, is a run-walk cadence for 26 miles.
And you know what's really interesting about that? I've been running for years, and a couple years ago I did the Hamilton around the bay. And I always run with pace groups. I love pace groups. I'm part of a pace team myself. And anyways, this particular day I hooked up with this pace group. Well, I didn't realize at the time, and I was going for, I think, a 2:30 or something at the time, which was fairly fast pace. Well, this pacer was doing the walk run, and I'm freaking out because I'm thinking, well, I always run straight. I just hit my water stops and I walk. This race, I did the walk run, and you know, it's kind of against everything you're supposed to do. You know, you train how you run your race. I had an amazing race. I came in at a 2:30, felt awesome, felt the best I've ever felt in my life. I haven't done it again, but it was just interesting because I actually got to test out Galloway's, his
method, yeah.
Yeah, and it actually paid off. And he's actually taken it where he's had elite runners actually try his method, and same with them. They, you know, they've had these amazing races because what it does is it just kind of pushes your lactic acid back a little bit longer. So that's kind of a cool thing to try.
Yeah, so we'll get into that probably midsummer when it comes to actually different running styles and stuff like that. But it's really important that you know that people understand that running and fitness is habit, and it's forming that proper habit to get you there. So we're going to help you along. If you have any questions at all, you can also email us, either chris@runningflat.com or definitely keep it all on Facebook at Running Flat Radio, and we can help you out with that.
And just another really quick thing is people who maybe want to come out to the March runs, everyone's always worried, new runners in particular, that they're going to be the slowest, they're going to stand out. Well, you know what? You never are. There's always someone who's slower or, you know, it's just the point that you're coming out and doing it. So I just want people to be aware of that. It's not fast runners that are going to be coming out. It's going to be people of all ages and all sizes that will be doing this.
Yeah. So just before we get to our feature interview today, I want to just kind of go a little bit through the running calendar. I want to talk about kind of where we're at with Running Flat. Le Chocolat's about, it's what we more than halfway sold out right now. And it's a half marathon, a 10K and a 5K. It is Windsor's only half marathon based on the waterfront. Again, you know, it's a Mother's Day primer, May 4th, and it's all about, you know, chocolate, and it's all about purses. And of course, the purse that we're giving away this year is a 3-liter box bag of wine shaped like a purse, the Pelee Island Winery purse, and called the Pelee Purse. And everyone gets one, and plus you get a really cool medal that's inspired by chocolate.
And you're also going to have a pace team out at that race,
yes,
are you not?
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to have pacers at that, and that's going to be a great time. Canada Day, our big success last year was the Canada Day run in Amherstburg. It is up for registration right now. There is a $5 discount code, and it is I Am Canadian as one word. Okay. We'll take $5 off the registration right now, and there's also a group discount, so you can register for as low as $25 for that event over the next week or so. And it's just one of the most bombastic Canadian races around. We had some folks from Texas to it last year who just loved it. And we get this amazing maple leaf medal that we have, and you have to vote right now on who you want on that medal when you register. So it's either Rick Mercer, Wayne Gretzky, or Terry Fox. Rockmiana Phylaxis will be opening up soon. There is an electric run coming to Windsor. I don't want to talk more about it. I will talk about it more in March. The color run is also selling out pretty fast right now. That's July 19th. And of course, our video for Run for Heroes Marathon is on YouTube. We're like this close to 10,000 views. Julian Lennon saw it last week, and since then it's been 1,000 views a day. So if you can get us over 10,000, please, today, just go to YouTube and it's Run for Heroes Marathon, and it's We Come Running by the Young Blood Hawks. Awesome. And registration is open for that. Canada's most Southern Boston qualifier as a marathon, a half marathon, 10K and 5K.
And it's a fast course too. anyone who is trying to qualify.
Super fast, super flat, and of course, the Run for Heroes Marathon. It's an event that we market right across North America, trying to bring folks to our region. And we have a really great expo this year, a health expo with Olympic athletes are going to be talking. And who knows, maybe our next guest will be there. I know I've been bugging him for 4 years.
That would be very cool.
And, you know, we'll see. We'll ask him again. So what we'll do is we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk to Bart Yasso, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of running. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Porter Airlines savings of up to 50% off base fares are now extended until Tuesday, January 28th. So instead of coming down with the January blues, you've got more time to jump up for great savings. Book at flyporter.com by Tuesday, January 28th for travel by June 15th. No matter what terrific Porter destination you choose, get ready to save up to 50% off base fares. Porter, flying refined.
Know how I know Kelsey's chicken pesto fettuccine tastes better?
No, how?
Two words, pest. Oh, no, she didn't.
Know how I know the Thai shrimp curry bowl tastes better?
No, how?
It's got sautéed shrimp nestled on a bed of Shanghai noodles. You could spend all weekend in that bed.
Nestled. Know how chicken pesto fettuccine tastes better?
How?
Pesto cream sauce. That's Italian for delicious.
True. Know how the Thai shrimp curry bowl tastes better?
How?
It's so authentic it wouldn't be caught dead in skinny jeans.
Are these too tight?
Kelsey's new Don't Worry, Eat Happy menu. Whatever you pick, your stomach wins. Kelsey's. Happiness always.
Last weekend's Axe Tax event at Leon's was so popular that we're bringing it back for one more week. Yes, today through Sunday at Leon's, you can pick out any furniture and any mattress you want from Canada's largest selection, and you'll save the tax. Sofas, beds, dining, no matter what style or brand you want, you save the tax on everything. Leon's huge furniture and mattress Axe the Tax event, held over till Sunday. Don't miss it.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. A wind chill warning remains in effect. Tonight, a few clouds, gusty wind with local blowing snow, and a low of minus 22, feeling like minus 33 with the wind chill tonight. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud, a 30% chance of flurry, gusty wind, local blowing snow, and a high of minus 10, feeling like minus 28 with the wind chill tomorrow. Again, a wind chill warning remains in effect until Thursday. Gusty wind tonight with local blowing snow, and a low of minus 22, feeling like minus 33 with the wind chill.
I'm exhausted.
Me too.
Mom, I have a book report due tomorrow, and I haven't even started it yet.
Dad, Johnny asked me to the dance, and he's really cute. But then Danny asked me too, and he has his own band. What should I do?
What would they do without us?
Whether you're looking for affordability, lifelong protection, or a combination of both, State Farm has a wide range of life insurance options to suit any need or budget.
Did you hear?
Nope.
Call your State Farm agent today and get more out of your life by getting more out of your life insurance. Or visit statefarm.ca for the agent nearest you and get to a better state.
Before you make plans, turn on AM 800 CKLW Smarter Weather Reports. Smarter Traffic Reports.
You are out of gas.
For a smarter you. Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski and Kelly Steele here. Our next guest is Bart Yasso. He's a lifelong runner and chief running officer and columnist with Runner's World magazine. He's the guy behind many books and, of course, the marathon training method called the Yasso 800s. On a personal note, I reached out to Bart probably about 6 years ago when we really had the run for, before Run for Heroes Marathon, we had the World Alzheimer's Day run. And it was an ultra marathon, and it was 100K. And we asked him, really, I just kind of asked him for advice on how to really be able to kind of develop that and promote that event. And he was always really gracious with his time and his help. And then I converted to a Boston qualifier 4 years ago. And he was very, very supportive and gave all kinds of super advice. And I've always bugged him every year now, Bart, for I don't know how many years to get you get us on your calendar to be a guest speaker at our health expo or whatever. And one of these years, we're going to convince you to do that. But welcome to Running Flat Radio, Bart Yasso.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Yeah, I got to get to your event one of these years. I'm on the road nonstop. It's unbelievable.
I know.
A lot of weekends are tough on me.
I know, and I know in a couple weeks I'm going to see you down in San Diego at Running USA, where you are a board member of that organization.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that'd be a good spot to run off to this time of the year.
Yeah, because like here it's minus, what is it, 27 with wind chill. It's a cold one tonight. So there's a quote that you did a number of years ago, and it was, I often hear someone say, I'm not a real runner. We're all runners. Some just run faster than others. I've never met a fake runner.
Yes, Chris.
So this show is really all about getting people involved in running from the couch to a 5K, and that's such a great quote, and I want to kind of deep dive that with you and talk about the personality of a runner and how we're all runners.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where that comes from, where people, I mean, I have people say I'm not a real runner, and they run more miles a week than I do. So I don't know why they think that way, but some people do for some reason.
So you see people all over the world and all over the country. You run with them at most of the marathons that are out there. I've seen your schedule. You basically run a half marathon or a marathon every weekend.
I'm at a half marathon or marathon every weekend. I don't run them all anymore. I used to years ago, but now I do more race festivities, a lot more clinics and race announcing at the finish and award ceremonies and that kind of stuff. But I get out there and run one every once in a while.
So what's your best piece of advice for someone trying to lace on a pair of shoes?
Yeah, you know, when you're starting, you know, as you talked about, from the couch to the 5K, you know, if you're starting from the couch, you just got to get out there. You just got to commit to it. And, you know, the thing about running is there's no shortcuts. You just got to take your time, let it come to you. You know, best way to truly start is the walk-run program that Jeff Galloway really perfected, where you just run a couple minutes, walk a couple minutes, and just build up that endurance, and then eventually you'll be able to just sustain the running.
Yeah.
But it's all about starting out slowly, and I find most people, when they do start out, they run a little bit too quickly because they see a runner on TV, and usually the runners that end up on TV are the fast runners. So they think that, you know, it's all you go out there and run fast, but it's the exact opposite. You got to slow yourself down, then you can cover a little more distance.
That's great advice. You know, we have pacers at our events for every one of our half marathon, and of course for Run for Heroes marathon. And I find them as a race director to be such an important tool for us, because it really allows our runners to have that confidence that when they get on our course, that they're going to have a great time. And you know, Jimmy Crist, and Jim and marathonpacing.com are the folks who do an amazing job pacing. Kelly actually paces a number of our races with Jim. And so how has that changed over the years, marathon running and racing?
Yeah, the pacers, I agree with you, are a vital part of the marathon, half marathon scene these days. I remember when it all started at the St. George Marathon in 1995. Runners were pace teams and nobody knew what they were, but it took off and then they become very common. Now, like up in Canada, a lot of times they're called pace bunnies and they wear the ears, so you know who the pace bunnies are.
I think that's a John Stanton thing with the running
room. I think John did perfect the pace bunny. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the runner, the pacer is not out there doing their race. They're just out there setting that pace, and they're running a lot slower than they could if they were out there racing. But the whole idea is to create this pack. Everyone has the common goal, whether it's break 2 hours in the half marathon or break 5 hours in the marathon. You know, there's all different kinds of paces, but that's what it's all about. You create that group. Everyone shares that same goal, and then you go out and try to accomplish it. So I find holding runners back early in the race is the hardest thing to do. Pace rabbit or pace bunny or pacer can really do a good job at that, because just too many people start out too quickly.
It's that whole excitement of being in that start line and that shoot and being all, you know, with 25,000 of your best friends.
You know, they put you in that chute, play the national anthem, and then get everyone fired up, screaming and yelling over the, you know. I do a lot of race announcing, so I'm guilty that I get everyone fired up, and then you shoot the gun and everyone just blast out of there. But you really need to start calmly and go out at a proper pace. It's the number one mistake runners make is to start out too quickly.
Now, you know, Bart, I have to ask you about the Yasso 800s. I think most runners know about the Yasso 800s before they know who the Yasuo 800s are after. In fact, it was interesting because I was reading, I think it was an article by Ambi Burfoot, and when he was talking about him approaching you, he wasn't sure this method you were going by, and I guess you kind of, the two, you were explaining to him how if you wanted to run a 330 marathon, you ran 330-800. So could you just explain a bit to us and to our listeners what the Yasuo 800s are and why they're so important?
Yeah, sure. Well, I always tell people, first off, never have a workout named after you, because I see on Twitter and Facebook every day runners say they're going out to curse my name for 8 or 10 times. That's what I see the most. But then they do thank me later on.
They are hard.
They are hard. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, it's Ambi named them after me without me knowing about it till after the magazine came out. This was well over 20 years ago. It's one of those things that has stuck around this long. So Ambi thought, he believed in the workout, 10 times 800. You know, like you said, if you're trying to run a 330 marathon, you do the 800 meters in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. The key is you're doing 10 of them with a 400-meter recovery.
Now, up until a marathon, how soon do you do them? Like, is there you know how you hit your peak? Do you do them up?
Yeah. I always use them in that phase where I tried to peak. So in that last 6-7 weeks prior to the taper, I did the workout about 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
And then I would start that taper, you know, 3 weeks or 18 days, whatever taper you're doing. And I found they worked for me perfectly. That's why Ambi did the story. He reached out to some other people, and they worked for them. And so he was, he did some research on it before he put it in the magazine and named them after me. And then ever since then, they've been everywhere. But yeah, a lot of people have no clue that there's a name attached to them or somebody. They just think it's a funny name, and then they start doing them, and then they found out later on.
That's very true. A bunch of people I run with just this past week, and I said, hey, you know, I got Bart Yasuo coming on. You know, I'm going to ask him some questions. What do you want to talk about? Yasuo 800s? Everyone's looking at me going, what do you mean? They didn't make the connection, which I thought was pretty funny. But we had an interesting question. Someone running a half marathon was saying, as a half marathon training, can they then cut the Yasuo 800s into 400s? Does it do the same thing, or should they continue doing eights?
No, do the 400s. I used to do 20 times 400 with a 200 recovery, and I did the 400s in my half marathon time, and it worked exactly the way the Yasuo 800s worked.
What is your PB for a marathon? 240?
I did 240 and 111 for the half, and I looked back at those logs, and I used to do 20 400s and 111, and that's what I ran in the half.
That's crazy fast.
Yeah, I think I never lived up to my potential in the marathon, because I used to be able to do 10 of those 800s and 235. So I don't know why I never got any faster in the marathon.
Wow. Hey, over the last 30 years, Bart, you've seen a lot of changes in the industry, in running. What's the single biggest impact? What is it to you?
Well, I think it's twofold. It's the amount of women that have come into our sport, and then the communities that are created. And the combination of those two have just, you know, our sport has just exploded. It's been so fun to physically witness this. You know, all these running groups at running stores and running clubs, and that stuff didn't go on in the old days. And then, the charity groups that get together and do runs together, and then the explosion of, you know, our research shows that there's more women running than men.
Yep.
And that's never around before. So it's amazing.
So
I go to a lot of races where there's more women than men in the race, specifically like half marathon type races. The women dominate.
Well, and the all-women races are becoming really popular. You've got the marathons. What is the Nike Women's Marathon now in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Along with some others. I know Toronto's going with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bart, you know what? We have to run. We're at the bottom of the hour. Thank you very much. We'll see you in San Diego in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you in San Diego. Keep up the good work with Flat Radio.
Hey, thank you very much for all your time. And you keep up the great work, the amazing work you do.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
Windsor police officers need help finding whoever fired shots in Old Walkerville overnight. Shots were fired around 1:15 this morning near Ellesmere and Niagara, the third shots incident in Windsor in the last month. A blitz has identified two suspected human traffickers in the Windsor area. Windsor officers interviewed five females, with the youngest being 16, and found some girls were being forced to perform sexual acts multiple times a day for paying male customers because they feared for their lives or were hooked on drugs. And Tecumseh OPP officers are probing two break-and-enters. They happened on Strawberry Drive and Candlewood Drive on Friday. Between 4:30 and 9 p.m., a suspect got in through a back patio door and jewelry was taken. AM 800 Sports, the Leafs host Tampa Bay tonight. Right now, scoreless in the first. Wings, Skate, and Philly. That is scoreless in the first. The Habs are home to the Hurricanes. That is just getting underway. The Essex 73s are playing Wheatley at home tonight. That is scoreless in the first as well. From the AM 800 Weather Center, a wind chill warning remains in effect tonight. Gusty wind with local blowing snow and a low of minus 22, feeling like minus 33 with the wind chill. Right now in Windsor, Essex, minus 17 Celsius, that's 1 Fahrenheit. With the wind chill, it feels like minus 28 Celsius or minus 19 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you are able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski and Kelly Steele in the studio. You know, Bart really touched on a really important thing that, first off, thanks to Andrew Vendrasco for the question. Thank you, Andrew. I hope we answered that for you, or Bart at least got an answer for that. But 2400s, that's going to be a tough one. But he brought up a really important point, and it goes, today we see many more running groups. And that was one of the points I wanted to make this week was, as we move forward in the show, I want to feature all the various running groups that we have in this community and the United States, too, that are listening. We're blessed because we have so many runners in this community, and the running experience is a very social one, maybe because it's such a very solidary challenge that we take upon ourselves. And then, you know, once a week, we get into a social group where we meet. And it's great as a starting runner. If you're starting off, you know, go to Facebook, take a look at where you live. If it's Amherstburg, I belong to the Amherstburg Running Club. We meet once a week at a various restaurant on a Friday at 6 o'clock. We go for a 5 or a 10, and then we go have dinner and a couple of drinks afterwards. And it's this great social experience.
But the best part about it is, as a new runner coming into a different group,
yep,
you automatically have that in. You share that one common thing, yep, so you always have something to talk about. And I think a lot of people are nervous. They see these groups on Facebook, and they're not sure if they can just pop in and run with these groups.
Correct. So pop in and race with them and run with them. So what they will do is they'll bring you along. Mm-hmm. They'll help you. They'll answer your questions. They'll work with you. They'll help you with your training. They'll provide some guidance in regards to what you should be training and where you should be running in the community, because they've done that. And also what races they're going to, because they usually do it as a group, where they'll, you know, book some hotels, book a half or a 10K that they're at, and or transportation together. So you know, the Kalamazoo Running Club. These guys are incredible. The Kalamazoo Running Club, a number of them are really big fans of the Run for Heroes Marathon in Amherstburg. And there is something like 15,000 members of that club. It is like, it's always in the top in the United States, the top one or two largest running clubs in the United States. And it's in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Well, you know what we're going to have to do then.
Go to Kalamazoo?
No, we're going to have to work on getting our numbers up in our running groups.
I totally agree. And so I know, and we have a number of listeners from Kalamazoo, and they're great, great runners out there. But, you know, we have lots of local running clubs here in Windsor and in Essex County and Chatham-Kent. And like I said, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to spotlight some of these groups and kind of introduce you to who's running those groups. And you know, basically how they, is it Thursday nights, is it Tuesday morning runs, you know, what's their kind of forte?
Well, I think there's a misconception. I think people think you have to, you know, it's a formal thing where you have to sign up, you have to pay a membership. No. I don't think people understand these are social groups where all you do is find them on Facebook. If they're at Malden Park, if they're out in Bell River, if they're in Amherstburg, you just pop in and run with them. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah. Bell River has a number of runs throughout the week, too. You know, I'm thinking of Leamington, Kingsville, yep. Wheatley, LaSalle.
I mean, they're everywhere.
They are.
Even Blue Heron now.
Yep. So really take a look on Facebook wherever you live and go to that group. They will welcome you and they will help you along. So, but also when you're on Facebook, join us on Running Flat Radio. That's where you can ask us a question, put some feedback. We love feedback regarding the show. And a couple other things that we want to talk about before we get Michael Doyle in here is the Running Flat has opened up, Running Factory, I'm sorry, has opened up their spring thaw. Mm-hmm. March 23rd is a date. You can register now for that. They've also got the Moon and June date, and they've also got the Cold Stone Creamery date as well.
And I always think spring thaw is that goal race. Everyone should sign up, do it, whether you're going to walk or run or whatever, just because it's that race. It's March. It's going to get you through the next couple months of cold and laziness. You sign up, you pay your money, you're going to go out, you're going to walk, you're going to run it, you're going to participate. And the best part about that race is they get a ton of people that come out. And yeah, you know what? The weather might not be perfect, but still you're out there with a couple hundred other people who are also all bundled up or, you know, dealing with the elements as well.
Yeah, and spring thaw is a great race. It's been around for 20 years. I don't know if Gary was around. I know we could probably get that number, but it's been around for an awful long time in our community, and it's been a staple to really the start of our running season here. So spring thaw, you can go to runningfactory.com, I guess, to get there, or it is on Race Roster, and Race Roster does all of our events as well. So I welcome you to go on there and surf around and take a look at all the races in your community. So,
and how cool is that now? You don't even have to go into these places. You just sit at your computer. You have no excuse not to sign up for these races.
You don't. And I know a lot of people do contact me on a personal level and say, hey, is there a place I can actually fill out a trifold? And I'm like, a trifold? I said, for God's sakes, we don't even do posters anymore. I can't remember the last time we actually made a poster for one of our events, because really everything is electronic for us. Mm-hmm. Our database of runners, our Facebook ads, and even just getting out to our runners is all electronic, and really it's our ability to just do everything electronically, because it brings down the cost, because someone has to input that, unfortunately. So yeah, by all means, go to runningflat.com if you really want to see all of our races that we have planned for this year. There's a couple more that are going on there that are not posted, which we'll talk about on future shows. And there's also some that are actually happening in different cities in Ontario. And we will talk about that on future shows as well. So join us at runningflat.com. Other news is these shows will be podcast on iTunes. Within the next week, we will be putting them on our main page at runningflat.com. And then you'll also be able to go to your iTunes store and get a free download of these shows. So if you're going for a run or you want to get on your treadmill, your dread mill, as most of us have called it in the past, you can download the show and then listen to these interviews with some of these folks that we've had over the last couple of weeks.
And it's interesting what you're saying about treadmills. I've had, I coach at the Running Factory.
Yes.
A bunch of new runners. And
how is that going, by the way?
It's going really well. It was pretty impressive last night. We actually had about 20 people out, considering how cold it was. That is very impressive.
That's
some diehards. But, you know, people always kind of, they're the same way. You know, oh, is it okay if I run on a treadmill? As long as you're getting out, as long as you're running, it doesn't matter if you're on the treadmill or if you're outside running, as long as you're doing it. And I think a lot of people feel that, you know, that the treadmill isn't the same workout. Well, you know what? When it's minus 25 out, it's much better to be on the treadmill than be worried about getting frostbite when you're out running in the crazy cold. So absolutely. And in fact, Bart actually posted a little couple treadmill workouts. So if you want to go on Runner's World, he has some treadmill workouts on there for the half marathon, for new runners, and even inclines. Just different ways to get kind of the boredom out of running on the treadmill. Because I don't know about you, I'm really bad on the treadmill.
And with all due respect, there's lots of different treadmills out there. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of pro-grade treadmills that have got long platens and beds, for running. And some are padded with a lot of absorption in them. So maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe we'll when we come back, we can talk treadmill running as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe get an expert on who can actually kind of dissect what makes sense. Maybe Michael Jaworski over at Finer Fitness, maybe we'll get him in and we can talk about that.
I'm great on a treadmill as long as someone isn't trying to talk to me. I'm not that coordinated to talk and run.
On the ground you go.
Exactly.
Awesome. So just before we go to break, I just want to remind you that at runningflat.com, the Canada Day is now open, and Run for Heroes is open, and of course, Le Chocolat, which very shortly all the press releases in the United States will come out talking about that. When we come back, we will have our good friend Michael Doyle from Canadian Running Magazine will be on. He's got four or five great items to talk about this week, what's happening around the world. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Is fast approaching. Are you in the zone? The Zone Inside Breakaway Gaming Center is throwing a supersized party to match the excitement of the big game. Half-priced chicken wings all day, plus a menu that'll turn you into a super fan of the Zone if you're not already. Come on, you can't beat half-priced wings. Don't stay home with a bag of chips again. Get in the zone. Big game, big screens, the Zone Inside Breakaway Gaming Center at 655 Crawford.
Where does depression hurt? Everywhere. Who does depression hurt? Everyone. You know you can feel it emotionally, but did you know you can also feel it physically? There are treatments that work on both the emotional and unpleasant physical symptoms of depression. Visit depressionhurts.ca to learn more about these symptoms, then talk to your doctor. Depression hurts, but you don't have to.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. A wind chill warning is still in effect. A few clouds tonight, gusty wind with local blowing snow, and a low of minus 22, feeling like minus 33 with the wind chill tonight. Mix of sun and cloud tomorrow, a 30% chance of flurries, gusty wind, local blowing snow, and a high of minus 10, feeling like minus 28 with the wind chill tomorrow. Once again, a wind chill warning remains in effect until Thursday. Tonight, gusty wind with local blowing snow, and a low of minus 22, feeling like minus 33 with the wind chill.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The only open line talk show in Windsor Essex. The Lynn Martin Show.
On Wednesday show, exactly how honest were you with your partner about your feelings about certain things? Did you misrepresent yourself in any way? And what would you do if your partner did?
I hope people are listening to this because we have got to do something about this.
The Lynn Martin Show.
We want to know the truth.
Weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800.
In a world where news happens in the blink of an eye, one man is about to change it all.
Well, that's a bit much, isn't it? I am really excited about this new kind of news show called Kevin Newman Live. We're all consuming news in new ways now. It's all the time, it's all around us. What if we could create a home that got its arms around all of that information and pulled it together into an hour that's a little bit feisty and fun?
Kevin Newman Live, weeknights at 9 on CTV News Channel.
You got it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski and Kelly Steele in the studio. And on our line right now is our good friend Michael Doyle, the editor-in-chief of Canadian Running Magazine. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're wonderful. Are you staying warm?
I am staying warm. In fact, I warmed myself up by running a bunch of hills a few minutes ago.
Now, the wind is unbelievable out there. Within the last couple hours, it's picked up, and it's just been unbelievable. I live near Lake Erie, and we've been getting this lake effect snow. I swear to God, we moved to Fargo, North Dakota. You can see the pictures around the house. You can barely see houses anymore. Anyway. Enough of the weather. What's going on in the running news?
There's all kinds of interesting stuff going on. I always find it really neat, these weird Guinness World Records that keep popping up, all these sorts of different extraordinary running feats. And one that we reported on earlier this week was a treadmill-related one, I guess, which pretty fitting for right now, particularly. This guy named Chris Solars, who is a hedge fund manager in New York, he's a New Jersey runner, he set a 12-hour record on the treadmill. He ran 124K in 12 hours flat.
and beat the previous record, which was 123.4 kilometers. So you, over 12 hours, you only beat it by 600 meters, which is pretty crazy.
And wasn't he just eating hummus and drinking Gatorade and stuff when he was on the treadmill?
Yeah, he had like a whole support team. Like, the photos that we saw were unbelievable. Like, they set up a couple of treadmills around him so people could run with him and keep him company. And he had this whole, like, platter of food off to the side. People were handing him all kinds of snacks and whatnot. Because, I mean, when you're running for 12 hours, it's something that I can't imagine doing, but I guess you got to eat at least one meal, right? So, yeah, that's pretty
crazy. That's crazy. I could not run on a treadmill for 12 hours.
You know, one of our interviews that we're trying to get this year is Chris Hadfield. And,
right.
You know, Chris is a great runner. And, of course, the master of the treadmill at zero gravity. And that's really one of the conversations we want to have with him is how do you keep it going? How do you keep it going? But that is unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much on the upcoming issue we've got, but we actually were able to talk to Chris about running on a treadmill in space.
So awesome.
Very cool.
You can look forward to that in the March issue coming out in a couple of weeks. Apart from that, the other news that's popping up on the radar today was that, obstacle course racing has been a huge thing in the running world in the last couple of years. It's really taken over. It's become a multi-million dollar industry in North America. But it's also courts controversy. There was a death last year, a 28-year-old in Virginia died at a Tough Mudder event. So a group of people are putting together a obstacle course racing governing body in the United States. I don't know if it's going to have reach within Canada. And also the details are still pretty hairy. I'm not sure if big corporations like Tough Mudder are going to participate. I can speculate at this time that they probably would want to do things on their own.
Yeah.
But it's certainly interesting to see kind of the wild west of this aspect of the running community getting reined in a little bit. And so they want to put in safety standards. They want to create insurance standards and whatnot. And so they're launching their organization in February, and I think they hope to get things going for the big obstacle course season, which is generally kind of spring through fall. So.
Yeah, I read that article, and I wish them all the best and all the best of luck. I mean, I know that on the marathon side, there is no governing body, and there are no standards.
Yeah.
I mean, we have nothing in North America.
I know it's sort of a little known fact. You know, I wrote a story about it last year in the magazine about standards in Canada, and I was actually shocked to find out that although Athletics Canada does verify courses, they don't hold anybody to verifying the course. So you can submit your course and say it's measured, and they have to take your word for it, because there is no real governing body to road racing that comes out and measures your course for you and, punishes you if your course is not accurate,
right,
or something to that degree.
So there are official measurers and registrars that we do subscribe to who do the independent work. But the one thing that we don't have is a regulatory body. Now, we do have a proposal with Athletics Canada and a couple other organizations of actually developing that over the next number of years, where we all do actually have standards. And it's interesting, but, for all those people who are wondering what's going on in the running industry as a regulated body, it isn't. We're pretty much self-regulated. And the beauty of it is we have great organizations like Running USA, Road Race Management out of Florida that most of us belong to, where we share that information and work together on stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that most race directors like yourself, you're doing it for the right reasons. You care about the sport. You care about providing an entertaining and exciting and worthwhile experience. And part of that, of course, is the authenticity. If you say you're running a marathon, it's a marathon distance. So I think that most runners ought to trust the race that they're going to. But it is kind of surprising to find out that there is, no real oversight.
Unless we're going for a Canadian record or a world record with the IAAF.
That's right.
And then if that's
right.
the case, then we actually call in those regulatory bodies who bring in their own officiating. And
that's right.
and then their rules of those organizations lay down on the course and rule everything. So
the thing with those obstacle races, though, some of them are really, really starting to push it to the limit. So I'm not surprised that a governing body.
The
is
fire?
The fire,
yeah.
The electrical shock.
The razor wire?
Execution is the thing that I'm afraid of, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I was just actually, you know, there's an article in the New Yorker this week about the writer went to an obstacle course race to a Tough Mudder, actually met the founder of Tough Mudder and did a profile piece on him as well as on the corporation, and the description of some of the things is kind of unbelievable. You know, I proposed to everyone in the office that we go do one this summer. We wrote an article a couple of years ago on Tough Mudder, and our photo editor from the magazine actually went and she did the event, and she had a great time. She thought it was fantastic. I think they really do provide something interesting and something different.
Well, they're a great bonding experience, I think, when you're going with coworkers or a group of friends, right? Because there's not that much pressure to run fast or do your best. It's more about having fun, right? And enjoying the experience.
Yeah. And we have a local event here that's really well run by the Petro Brothers, mm-hmm. The Heartbreaker that happens here at Malden Hill. And I'm not sure the date on top of my head, but you know anyone can look it up right now. And they do a wonderful job putting it on. And I know as directors that the safety is their utmost concern. But really, it's a big team building, corporate building exercise,
absolutely.
And it does really, really well in our community.
It looks like it's a really fun event, and you know everyone likes to have an excuse to go jump in some mud.
Oh yeah, it's that chance to be a kid, right? You get dirty, you get wet, you get to just be a goofy person for the day.
It's the color run formula.
exactly. You guys know all about that.
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah. Michael, what else is going on?
We reported earlier this week, this is kind of a weird one, speaking of strange races, that North Korea is opening up their Pyongyang Marathon to foreigners to travel. If you're looking for a really unusual exotic destination race, I don't know if exotic is the right word, if you're looking for an unusual race to go to, you can travel to North Korea now and run in the marathon. This race actually has a bit of a history to it. It's been around for over 30 years. It's produced some on the elite level, some very good times. I mean, it was 1:02.11 last year by an Ethiopian runner. So it does have a bit of a pedigree to it. And there are, I mean, North Korea has produced some high level, particularly female distance runners in the last 20, 30 years. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's North Korea is a highly unusual place, and I'm sure it would be a very strange marathon trip.
What if Dennis Rodman will be the honorary race director on that one?
Yeah, maybe he'll sing the national anthem.
Or hum it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else?
We've started up a new weekly feature on our website where we're going to try to demystify elements, more confusing elements of running. So the first one that we launched this week, we posted it earlier today, which was explaining VO2 max, which is a really fundamental aspect of understanding kind of what your ability is as a runner from a physiological, scientific standpoint, without bogging you down too much. It's about how many red blood cells your body can produce and how much oxygen you can absorb. And so I had my writer, Scott Leach, who's our online writer, dig into the details of it, contact a couple of scientists, and figure out how to explain it to the layman. I mean, you know, it's something that I kind of understand, just having been a runner for so long and doing a little bit of, you know, a little bit of reading on my own. But it's something that I think it's important to break down these details and make them really simple for runners, because there is a lot of useful information out there that is somewhat complicated if you don't have a PhD in exercise physiology.
And that's interesting, because you're right. The whole VO2 max, every time you just have to mention it to me and I kind of panic. It just seems like this very complicated thing, and I've never used it. So it'll be interesting to kind of look at your breakdown and finally be able to figure it out, I guess. Do you run using it?
I mean, I have a kind of rough idea of what my VO2 max is. I mean, the thing is you can improve that number. It's a number that is anywhere from, you know, the typical, I think, sedentary person is at about 30 or 40. And then, you know, your top-end elite athletes have VO2 maxes into the 90s. And so, you know, your typical runner probably falls in the 50s somewhere. And it's a number that can change, and you can improve that number. So as you get fitter, as you become a more efficient runner, a more experienced runner, your body does become more, of course, more efficient and kind. Mm-hmm. So it's a number I don't really keep a close eye on. I like to run on feel. I'm kind of old school that way.
Hey, Michael, one of the things I wanted to talk about last week when we kind of ran out of time was this big virtual run that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not this last weekend, but the weekend before last, Meg's Mile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can
you talk a bit about that in our last 30 seconds here?
For sure. Meg Menzies was a Virginia runner who tragically died on her Monday morning run. She was training for the Boston Marathon. She was hit by a drunk driver in Ashland, Virginia, on the side of the road. She was doing nothing wrong. She was running on the proper side of the road into traffic. Since then, there's been this huge outpouring of support, and there's hashtag Meg's Miles.
Yeah.
You can go check it out on Twitter. There's like thousands of posts. People dedicated their runs on Saturday, the 18th of January, to her honor.
It really built a big community right across the board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really special experience.
Wow. Michael, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thanks, man. All the best.
See you later.
And next week we have Ultra Marathon Man, Dean Kazarnis, is going to join us on the Running Flat Radio. Really an intimate talk about when is crazy crazy, or is it really just a limitless body that we actually have? We just haven't unlocked it all.
I can't wait to talk
to him. Yeah, incredible guy. Special thanks to Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star and Carla Lozon-Absen from Running Flat. I'm Chris Yuzinski. Till next week. Keep running.